6. Four lifetimes. I thought that I was surely dead. Certainly some who saw farther than I did thought I had fallen. From Oathbringer, Preface. Kaladin stepped into Roshon's manor, and his apocalyptic visions of death and loss started to fade as he recognized people. He passed Haravi, one of the town's many farmers, in the hallway. Kaladin remembered the man as being enormous, with thick shoulders. In actuality, he was shorter than Kaladin by half a hand, and most of Bridge Four could have outmatched him for muscles. Taravi didn't seem to recognize Kaladin. The man stepped into a side chamber which was packed with dark eyes sitting on the floor. The soldier walked Kaladin along the candlelit hallway. They passed through the kitchens, and Kaladin noted dozens of other familiar faces. The townspeople filled the manor, packing every room. Most sat on the floor in family groups, and while they looked tired and disheveled, they were alive. Had they rebuffed the Voidbringer assault, then? My parents, Kaladin thought, pushing through a small group of townspeople and moving more quickly. Where were his parents?
Whoa there,
said the soldier behind, grabbing Kaladin by the shoulder. He shoved his mace into the small of Kaladin's back.
Don't make me down you, son.
Kaladin turned on the guardsman, a clean-shaven fellow with brown eyes that seemed set a little too close together. That rusted cap was a disgrace.
Now, the soldier said, we're just going to go find Bright Lord Roshon, and you're going to explain why you were skulking round the place. Act real nice, and maybe he won't hang you. Understand?
The townspeople in the kitchens noticed Kaladin finally and pulled away. Many whispered to one another, eyes wide, fearful. He heard the words deserter, slave brands, dangerous. Nobody said his name.
They don't recognize you?
Syl asked as she walked across a kitchen countertop. Why would they recognize this man he had become? Kaladin saw himself reflected in a pan hanging beside the brick oven. Long hair with a curl to it, the tips resting against his shoulders. A rough uniform that was a shade too small for him, face bearing a scruffy beard from several weeks without shaving. Soaked and exhausted, he looked like a vagabond. This wasn't the homecoming he'd imagined during his first months at war. A glorious reunion where he returned as a hero wearing the knots of a sergeant, his brother delivered safe to his family. In his fancies, people had praised him, slapped him on the back, and accepted him. Idiocy. These people had never treated him or his family with any measure of kindness.
Let's go, the soldier said, shoving him on the shoulder.
Kaladin didn't move. When the man shoved harder, Kaladin rolled his body with the push, and the shift of weight sent the guard stumbling past him. The man turned, angry. Kaladin met his gaze. The guard hesitated, then took a step back and gripped his mace more firmly.
Wow, Syl said, zipping up to Kaladin's shoulder. That is quite the glare you gave.
Old sergeant's trick, Kaladin whispered, turning and leaving the kitchens. The guard followed behind, barking an order that Kaladin ignored. Each step through this manor was like walking through a memory. There was the dining nook where he'd confronted Rilla and Laro on the night he'd discovered his father was a thief. This hallway beyond, hung with portraits of people he didn't know, had been where he'd played as a child. Roshon hadn't changed the portraits. He'd have to talk to his parents about Tien. It was why he hadn't tried to contact them after being freed from slavery. Could he face them? Storms he hoped they lived, but could he face them? He heard a moan, soft, underneath the sounds of people talking. Still, he picked it out. There were wounded? He asked, turning on his guard.
Yeah, the man said, but...
Kaladin ignored him and strode down the hallway, Syl flying along beside his head. Kaladin shoved past people, following the sounds of the tormented, and eventually stumbled into the doorway of the parlor. It had been transformed into a surgeon's triage room, with mats laid out on the floor bearing wounded. A figure knelt by one of the pallets, carefully splinting a broken arm. Kaladin had known as soon as he'd heard those moans of pain where he'd find his father. Liren glanced at him. Storms. Kaladin's father looked weathered, bags underneath his dark brown eyes. The hair was grayer than Kaladin remembered, the face gaunter. But he was the same. Balding, diminutive, thin, bespectacled, and amazing.
What's this? Liren asked, turning back to his work. Did the High Prince's house send soldiers already? That was faster than expected. How many did you bring? We can certainly use...
Liren hesitated, then looked back at Kaladin. Then his eyes opened wide.
Hello, father,
Kaladin said. The guardsman finally caught up, shouldering past gawking townspeople and waving his mace toward Kaladin like a baton. Kaladin sidestepped absently, then pushed the man so he stumbled farther down the hallway.
It is you,
Liren said. Then he scrambled over and caught Kaladin in an embrace.
Oh, Cal, my boy, my little boy. Hesina! Hesina!
Kaladin's mother appeared in the doorway a moment later, bearing a tray of freshly boiled bandages. She probably thought that Liren needed her help with a patient. Taller than her husband by a few fingers, she wore her hair tied back with a kerchief, just as Kaladin remembered. She raised her gloved safe hand to her lips, gaping, and the tray slipped down in her other hand, tumbling bandages to the floor. Shockspren, like pale yellow triangles breaking and reforming, appeared behind her. She dropped the tray and reached to the side of Kaladin's face with a soft touch. Syl zipped around in a ribbon of light, laughing. Kaladin couldn't laugh. Not until it had been said. He took a deep breath, choked on it the first time, then finally forced it out.
I'm sorry, father, mother, he whispered. I joined the army to protect him, but I could barely protect myself.
He found himself shaking, and he put his back to the wall, letting himself sink down until he was seated.
I let Tien die. I'm sorry. It's my fault. Oh, Kaladin,
Hesina said, kneeling down beside him and pulling him into an embrace.
We got your letter, but over a year ago they told us you had died as well. I should have saved him,
Kaladin whispered.
You shouldn't have gone in the first place, Liren said. But now, almighty, now you're back.
Liren stood up, tears leaking down his cheeks.
My son! My son is alive!
A short time later, Kaladin sat among the wounded, holding a cup of warm soup in his hands. He hadn't had a hot meal since... when?
That's obviously a slave's brand, Liren, a soldier said, speaking with Kaladin's father near the doorway into the room. Sosscliff. So it happened here in the princedom. They probably told you he'd died to save you the shame of the truth. And then the Shashbrand. You don't get that for mere insubordination.
Kaladin sipped his soup. His mother knelt beside him, one hand on his shoulder, protective. The soup tasted of home. Boiled vegetable broth with steamed lavas stirred in, spiced as his mother always made it. He hadn't spoken much in the half hour since he'd arrived. For now, he just wanted to be here with them. Strangely, his memories had turned fond. He remembered Tien laughing, brightening the dreariest of days. He remembered hours spent studying medicine with his father, or cleaning with his mother. Syl hovered before his mother, still wearing her little haba, invisible to everyone but Kaladin. The Spren had a perplexed look on her face.
The Rongwei High Storm did break many of the town's buildings, Hesina explained to him softly. But our home still stands. We had to dedicate your spot to something else, Cal. But we can make space for you.
Kaladin glanced at the soldier, captain of Rishon's guard. Kaladin thought he remembered the man. He almost seemed too pretty to be a soldier, but then he was light-eyed.
Don't worry about that, Hesina said. We'll deal with it, whatever the trouble is.
With all these wounded pouring in from the villages around, Rishon will need your father's skill. Rishon won't go making a storm and risk Liren's discontent. And you won't be taken from us again. She talked to him as if he were a child. What a surreal sensation, being back here, being treated like he was still the boy who had left for war 5 years ago. Three men bearing their son's name had lived and died in that time. The soldier who had been forged in Amaram's army. The slave, so bitter and angry. His parents had never met Captain Kaladin, bodyguard to the most powerful man in Roshar. And then, there was the next man. The man he was becoming. A man who owned the skies and spoke ancient oaths. 5 years had passed, and 4 lifetimes. "He's a runaway slave," the guard captain hissed. "We can't just ignore that, surgeon. He probably stole the uniform. And even if for some reason he was allowed to hold a spear despite his brands, he's a deserter. Look at those haunted eyes and tell me you don't see a man who has done terrible things." "He's my son," Liren said. "I'll buy his writ of slavery. You're not taking him. Tell Rishon he can either let this slide or he can go without a surgeon. Unless he assumes Mara can take over after just a few years of apprenticeship." Did they think they were speaking softly enough that he couldn't hear? "Look at the wounded people in this room, Kaladin. You're missing something." The wounded. They displayed fractures, concussions, very few lacerations. This was not the aftermath of a battle, but of a natural disaster. So what had happened to the Voidbringers? Who had fought them off?
"Things have gotten better since you left,"
Asena promised Kaladin, squeezing his shoulder.
"Rishon isn't as bad as he once was. I think he feels guilty. We can rebuild. Be a family again. And there's something else you need to know about. We..."
"Asena," Liren said, throwing his hands into the air.
"Yes?"
"Write a letter to the High Prince's administrators," Liren said. "Explain the situation. See if we can get a forbearance. Or at least an explanation." He looked to the soldier. "Will that satisfy your master? We can wait upon a higher authority, and in the meantime, I can have my son back." "We'll see," the soldier said, folding his arms. "I'm not sure how much I like the idea of a Shash-branded man running around my town." Asena rose to join Liren. The two had a hushed exchange as the guard settled back against the doorway, pointedly keeping an eye on Kaladin. Did he know how little like a soldier he looked? He didn't walk like a man acquainted with battle. He stepped too hard and stood with his knees too straight. There were no dents in his breastplate, and his sword's scabbard knocked against things as he turned. Kaladin sipped his soup. Was it any wonder that his parents still thought of him as a child? He'd come in looking ragged and abandoned, then had started sobbing about Tien's death. Being home brought out the child in him, it seemed. Perhaps it was time for once to stop letting the rain dictate his mood. He couldn't banish the seed of darkness inside him, but Stormfather, he didn't need to let it rule him either. Syl walked up to him in the air.
"They're like I remember them."
"Remember them?" Kaladin whispered. "Syl, you never knew me when I lived here."
"That's true,"
she said. "So how can you remember them?" Kaladin said, frowning.
"Because I do,"
Syl said, flitting around him.
"Everyone is connected, Kaladin. Everything is connected. I didn't know you then, but the winds did. And I am of the winds."
"Your honor, Spren."
"The winds are of honor," she said, laughing as if he'd said something ridiculous. "We are kindred blood."
"You don't have blood."
"And you don't have an imagination, it appears."
She landed in the air before him and became a young woman.
"Besides, there was another voice, pure, with a song like tapped crystal, distant yet demanding."
She smiled and zipped away. "Well, The world might have been upended, but Syl was as impenetrable as ever. Kaladin set aside his soup and climbed to his feet. He stretched to one side, then the other, feeling satisfying pops from his joints. He walked toward his parents. Storms, but everyone in this town seemed smaller than he remembered. He hadn't been that much shorter when he'd left Hearthstone, had he? A figure stood right outside the room, speaking with the guard with the rusty helmet. Rishon wore a light-eyes coat that was several seasons out of fashion. Adolin would have shaken his head at that. The city lord wore a wooden foot on his right leg and had lost weight since Kaladin had last seen him. His skin drooped on his figure like melted wax, bunching up at his neck. That said, Rishon had the same imperious bearing, the same angry expression. His light yellow eyes seemed to blame everyone and everything in this insignificant town for his banishment. He'd once lived in Kolinar, but had been involved in the deaths of some citizens, Moash's grandparents, and had been shipped out here as punishment. He turned toward Kaladin, lit by candles on the wall.
"So, you're alive. They didn't teach you to keep yourself in the army, I see. Let me have a look at those brands of yours."
He reached over and held up the hair in front of Kaladin's forehead.
"Storms, boy, what did you do? Hit a light eyes?"
"Yes," Kaladin said, then punched him. He bashed Rishon right in the face, a solid hit, exactly like Hav had taught him. Thumb outside of his fist, he connected with the first two knuckles of his hand across Rishon's cheekbone, then followed through to slide across the front of the face. Rarely had he delivered such a perfect punch. It barely even hurt his fist. Rishon dropped like a felled tree.
"That," Kaladin said, "was for my friend Moash."